The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world. And at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, you can maybe tell by the hymns that I was all ready to preach on Matthew 11, verse 28. I'd done the translation and the study of that text, but felt compelled instead to preach on verses 25 and 26 of our gospel reading. And I read again those verses. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Dear Christians, this weekend, of course, our country celebrated the 244th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We remembered again those timeless words penned by Thomas Jefferson. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men." God gives us our rights. The government only secures them. And one of those rights given to us by God and secured for us by our government is spelled out in the First Amendment to the Constitution. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." And because our nation recognizes this God-given right and has secured it for us, we're able to gather here this morning as a Christian congregation, as Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm able to preach and you are able to listen. We're able to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to pray and praise together our Savior. Because our nation recognizes this God-given right and has secured it for us, we have been able since 1864 to operate a Christian day school in which children learn the same subjects that every school teaches. But more than that, our students hear the Word of God, the good news of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's testimony from the Holy Bible. The words of Jesus in the gospel reading provide an opportunity for us to reflect on our school. And it is not my intention to use this big chunk of oak as a bully pulpit, and I won't. But these words of Jesus are before us this morning, and since the school is a topic of discussion these days, not to be, I decided to preach on them. You know, it's no secret these are difficult days for our school. To put it bluntly, we suffer from too few students and not enough money. There is a business aspect to our school. We do have to deal with salaries and benefits, utilities and facilities, instructional materials and insurance. We cannot ignore these things. They will not take care of themselves. But while there is admittedly a business aspect to the school is not a business. The school is a mission of our congregation and a vital part of our ministry, and we need to be mindful of that also as we plan for the future. And to remind myself of that, because I think sometimes we forget that, because these other issues force themselves on us. But to remind myself of the school as a mission and a vital part of our ministry, I dug back into the church records and the official acts of our congregation from 2010 to the present. Over the last 10 years, as a direct result of children and families attending our school, the Lord has in fact done some wonderful things. 28 children and 5 adults who had no other contact with our congregation other than the school have been born again of water and the Spirit, baptized into Christ, clothed with Him and His righteousness. 13 youth and 16 adults have been instructed in God's Word, confirmed in the faith, and welcomed to the Lord's table. 4 adults have been received into membership by affirmation of the faith they once confessed and now confess again. 33 baptisms, 29 confirmations, and another one on the way, 4 affirmations of faith. And with that in mind, I want us to listen again to Jesus and to his words from Matthew 11. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. What are these things that the Father hides from the wise and understanding but reveals to little children? Well, they are the things about Jesus. It's the saving message that Jesus is the friend of sinners, that he took every sinner's sin in his sinless body to the cross where he died for us and rose again. It's the good news of Jesus that all who repent of their sin and trust in him receives a free gift, forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. It's the glorious hope that all who believe in and are baptized into Jesus are children of our Heavenly Father and will someday go to heaven. According to Jesus, God hides those things from the wise and understanding, not because they are smart, but because they think they know better than God. They think the gospel is nonsense. They don't believe they need a Savior. They trust in themselves to satisfy God, to achieve their salvation, and to take heaven by storm. But God the Father makes those things about Jesus, known to little children. In fact, Jesus tells us that it is the Father's gracious will to do just that. He wills to make known to little children that Jesus is their Savior. He wills to pour out upon them his blessings. He wills to make little children his children. The Father wills to make Jesus known to little children, not because they are innocent, not because they are trusting or gullible, and not because they are adorable. The Father wills to make Jesus known to little children because in Jesus' day, children were looked upon as ignorant and lowly, weak and helpless. That's exactly who Jesus was sent to save. He wills to save those who cannot save themselves. And because it is the Father's gracious will to make Jesus and his saving work known to little children, it is also Jesus' gracious will to make himself and his saving work known to little children. And so we hear Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Of course, it's not just those who are literally little children to whom the Father makes Jesus known. It's also those who have become like little children. He makes Jesus, the power and the wisdom of God, known to those who see that they are weak, that they were born in sin and spiritual ignorance. He makes Jesus known to those in need of a Savior and makes them wise to salvation through faith in Jesus. He makes Jesus known to those who, like St. Paul, do not understand themselves and their actions. I love those words of St. Paul from Romans 7. I mean, I hope I certainly can see myself in those. The good I want to do, I don't do. That which I hate, I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am. But that's who Jesus saves. People like you and me who cry out with St. Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" And God the Father makes known to them, has made known to us, what he made known to St. Paul, that salvation from sin and victory over death and rest for our souls is found only in Jesus. That's what God the Father has done for you. He has made Jesus known to you. He has brought you to faith in him. He has forgiven your sins. He promises you life everlasting. He has saved you from your body of death, and he gives you rest for your soul. Maybe the Father made Jesus known to you when you were a little child. Maybe you were baptized as an infant at this very font or one like it. Maybe you sat in these pews as a child, hearing God's word and following along in the hymnal as mom or dad or grandma or grandpa pointed to the page. Maybe you occupied one of the desks in our school, and day after day, year after year, faithful teachers taught you God's word, and you learned to know Jesus, your Savior, better and better and better. Maybe the Father made Jesus known to you when you were an adult. Maybe your son or daughter brought the good news of Jesus home to you from school. Maybe you heard the good news about Jesus when you attended an event or a service connected with the school, or decided you would sit through an adult instruction class. Maybe as an adult you were baptized at this font or communed at this altar. There are lots of children out there. They all need Jesus, and many of them simply do not know him. Children are being bombarded with fears about the virus. Children in some circles are being taught to hate our country and its history. Children are being encouraged to embrace sinful lifestyles. And there are children out there who may never, ever hear the word of God, not from their parents, not from anyone. It's these children and their parents to whom the Father wants to make Jesus known. And that's what happens in our school, not only in our school, but I think it happens best in our school. No other mission makes our congregation more family-friendly. No other mission gives us that kind of sustained time with children and parents. No other mission creates an instant relationship with those who do not know Jesus and are still outside his church. No other mission gives our Heavenly Father the same kind of opportunity to do what he graciously wills to do, to make Jesus known to children and their parents as the friend of sinners, to claim them as his redeemed children who can rest easy in their Savior. We have the right to make Jesus known to little children and their families. God the Father graciously wills to do it. And through our school, he has, and he will, by his grace and help, continue to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.